What's in the bag?
Sixer.
What's in the bag?
Jazz, bongo drums, huge bag of weed.
Mind letting me have a look at the contents of your bag?
Top secret. Black bag.
What's in the bag?
Hey, what's in the bag? Your blow off doll?
Not a game, man. What's in the bag?
You want to see what's in my bag?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to season two of What's in the Bag. I'm here with Ellie Monison, or Goofy Goobs, yep. Or Shutter Girl.
Yep.
All of the above, all different versions of the same woman over here. But yeah, we're going to get started. We're going to find out what's in Ellie's bag. And yep. We've already found out how much she cherishes Photo Club. And I'm very excited to hear more about that.
Yeah. All right. So you want me to start unzipping the bag?
Yeah. So like what kind of bag do you use?
Okay. So to start off, I got this bag as a gift for my graduation of college from a dear family friend of mine. And I would pronounce this brevite or brevit or brevity. I haven't seen anyone else use it.
I was going to say, I've always seen, I see Instagram ads for this.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, and I've always in my head said like brevite.
Okay.
Brevite.
Yeah, maybe it's Australian.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. But here, I'll just do like ASMR of my zipper. But the reason why I really like this backpack, just starting on the looks, is if you looked at this backpack, you wouldn't know that it's for camera gear.
Yes, absolutely.
And I was a victim of my cameras being stolen, so I have to have gear that is incognito.
Yeah.
And I would recommend that to anyone.
Yeah, it's always one of the most terrifying things to me when I think about bags. It's just like I have all of my valuable things in one convenient place for someone that's just...
Right?
Can just read it and automatically take it. So I completely understand. Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you understand. But so basically, when I unzip this bag, it opens to a few different compartments. So I can start kind of with the silly shit. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that word. So this first pocket, it kind of has like miscellaneous items. I do a lot of writing, so I have a few different notebooks in my bag. One is like a very small journal that I actually got at a flea market, and I had it pressed with HMM. For whom, as in like thinking or thoughts. And so this is a place where I record different thoughts, whether it be creative projects I want to pursue or goals or ideas for projects down the line. And so I like to keep it with me because I always have a pen. And when you have a really small journal, you're able to take it wherever you go. So I have that. And then I also... This is funny because whenever I'm with people, I think I always break out into like show and tell mode. So this is exactly that.
It's ideal right now. Yeah. This is exactly what we're looking for. Cool. We're just jumping right into everything that's
so
in the bag.
So this is also a super, super small journal that is accompanied by super small watercolors. And so I keep this with me too because I kind of do a project with that in itself. But so these are these two things. And then I have a little lens cleaner with me.
Classic. Of course. Essential.
I have this little metal container where I keep business cards of the people that I meet. So
this is incredibly organized right off the bat. This is just,
that's me in a nutshell. I have a really mini Sharpie because I do a lot of production assistant work and you know, that's kind of an item that
very essential.
Someone wouldn't think to have on them, but like if you got a mini guy, it's easy. I have Purell, I have my lip gloss, I have a card reader because you need that. You don't know if a client or someone would want the photos on the spot.
Yeah, everyone else
is unprepared. Do I have my computer with me? No, but...
as long as someone has a computer.
Yeah, for this right now, no, I do not.
Exactly.
I have a little card container. So if I take out my card, it's just, you know, it's protective and just an easy spot to put that away.
This is genuinely just like any photographer's dream. Like you could sell this as like a prepped kit.
Amazing.
And you would have so many people just waiting.
I bet you don't have your spare keys in your bag.
Definitely.
Because I have to change the battery after this. So that's why they're in here. I forgot that, but I reminded myself of that. And then, okay, so that's it for my, oh, just kidding. I have a mini tiny lighter.
Everything is mini and it's in the small pocket.
Yes.
So I'm just assuming everything in the larger pocket is the same thing, but just full size.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So then we go into the bag and I don't normally carry this much gear on me, to be honest. It depends if I want to be shooting in film, or if I want to be shooting digital, but I just thought I'd bring just to kind of tell whoever the heck is listening what I kind of have in my
camera. Like your general rotation?
Sports locker.
I gotcha, yeah.
Yes. So I also have a battery. Or what's a battery?
A charger.
A charger, yes, thank you. I have, this is actually my digital camera charger, which doubles as my Kindle charger.
It's universal. That's right? What it's for. Nice. Yeah. Is this digital cameras is like a point and shoot or like more of like a larger one?
So my digital camera, thanks for getting into that, is I actually got it recently. It's a Fuji X-T30II. I've never been a nerd about cameras, so this is my first nerd moment. But this is it. And it's very nice. And I think for myself, it's very difficult to decide what camera to get. And so it takes a lot of, honestly, recommendations rather than researching for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And just so, the other people that are feeding into that.
Exactly. And I work with, basically, I work for a photo management agency. And my boss represents photographers. And so one of the photographers I really look to for advice with cameras, and he had recommended going to Fuji. I originally was a Canon girl, sometimes Nikon, but he recommended this version, and I went to Sammy's, I tested it out, and I liked it. And the reason why I like it is because there are film simulations. So I love film. Mira, close your ears. But sometimes it's like not as cost effective as I would like.
And oh,
as a 24-year-old, it's a little difficult to justify spending that money. And so there's film simulations on this camera. So, you know, it's a lot of different types of grades of film. And, you know, you see it right on your preview. And I guess when you save your JPEGs, it's on there too. So there's black and white. There's sepia. There's all these different color variations. And
oh,
that was definitely a sell to me.
Yeah, so you can even do like different styles of film within
the saving. Yes, I actually would love to show you if you would like to see.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Because
I'll do my best to do a bit of a verbal photo for the listeners.
Okay, cool. So hold on. Oops, I mean to take a photo. Okay. So this is like, I'm just going to go down the row of different grades so you can see.
Oh, so it just immediately shows. That's wild. Yes. So it has like,
so if you,
like
when you looked at my account, there's some black and white, there's some sepia, and that's not even really edited in post. That's just, I took
it. It's just like straight out of camera.
Straight out of camera.
Wow. That's,
right?
It is really nice because there are some times that I'm like, I want to shoot film. And then I try to buy film.
Yes.
And, well, not try. I do buy film. Try. And then they're like,
they turn you away.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, no.
You're too young.
I've seen your bank account. You should not be here.
For the best.
We're taking care of you when we say you're not allowed to buy film.
Yeah, they're going to say you'll thank us later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's, would you say that you get like a similar like vibe to it?
A similar vibe in a way.
To your photos, like compared to film, if we were to take the same photos.
I've had people think that the photos that I take are on film, so I would, you know, give that soundbite to Fuji to use for their marketing because I think it really does do a great job.
Yeah, I do think going back,
part of me feels weird because I feel like I'm deceiving people and I don't want people to think that I'm trying to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah,
but
there's a front to it.
Sometimes, you know, people shoot in larger format film and people think that it's digital because it's so clean. So
right.
It's just, it all depends on like your end goal. So
yeah,
I do think that it is important going back to what you said about the like recommendations from other people, mm-hmm. that like everything, you can read as much as you want about like a specific type of camera or something like that,
yeah.
But getting recommendations for people that know your shooting style and people mm-hmm. that know what you're trying to do at the end of the day is so much more valuable than just like reading like online forums that just tell you the specs of a camera.
Right.
Like there's a lot, you know, that you can learn about like the, you know, the more like gear headed aspects of a camera, but it's truly what you're trying to do creatively at the end of the day that like really pushes you towards like one camera or another.
Yeah. And it actually relates to the point of the lens that's on my camera because I'm not great with these numbers of lenses, but it came with a 45 millimeter lens. And then I was at Photo Club and I was talking to Aiden, who shoots a lot of documentary, both video and photo work. And he told me that he had a 55 millimeter for sale. And so I went to his house the next day and talked it through with him. And he also helped me kind of organize my camera where, you know, you can put different gears to different functions of buttons.
Yeah.
Which was really helpful to speak with him. And I really didn't do much research, but I looked at the photos he had taken. I kind of played around in the street with the lens for a bit, and I bought it off of him the next day.
Yeah, it's so important. I feel like it's such an important aspect of like the community to be able to have those people that are more experienced than you are in those spaces to be able to teach you those things and to be able to say, like, to come alongside you and say, hey, this is like what I have done with it. This is how I can help you, like, learn this camera body or this lens or whatever it is. That just completely changes the dynamic of you just like being like, I could actually buy anything, but like, what do I actually want to see?
I also think it speaks to the fact that I'm a very visual person, so it's hard for me to do research on a computer as opposed to going to a store and holding a camera and seeing kind of what I feel like when I'm wearing it or using it. And I sometimes relate that to me not being great at the technical part of photography. I more so kind of do it based off of what I feel and what I'm seeing, and kind of it's worked. And I know some people are much more specific about, you know, what they're setting their ISO or their shutter speed or their aperture, whereas I kind of am just playing, and when it works, I keep it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, at the end of the day, it's about the end product, not necessarily the settings that you have.
Right.
And if what's coming out of the camera is what you're looking for, then there's nothing to fix.
So going back to my bag.
Beautiful. Let's keep going through your bag.
I have a roll of film that honestly might be from when I was in college. I kind of just like, I don't know. This is like an Ilford FP4 plus 125 black and white. So it's definitely from college because I don't really buy black and white film often because I love color. But going on, another thing that I think I have really honed in on with photography is I am a big camera long-term borrower. So okay. I don't buy a lot of gear. It's kind of been, you know, like this camera right here, my friend May, she just left for Thailand for 2.5 years. She just joined the Peace Corps.
Oh, wow.
And it was either store this in her storage unit or give it to me to use. So this is May's.
It's a little point and shoot.
Yes, it's a little point and shoot. And this is a Pentax SBO 140. And it's fun because it's super small. For me, I like, you know, using things that feel convenient and portable and
absolutely
aren't heavy.
Yeah.
And so getting this is a great on the go piece.
And getting so much more use than it would in a little storage unit.
Yes, exactly. And then this camera, when I had all of my gear stolen, I went home to Chicago for a bit and had mentioned to a few of my family friends and Glencoe, who are photographers, that I had, you know, no longer had my gear. And so this was lent to me. And this is a Nikon F100. And funny enough, this is kind of how I got started in photography. Because when I was a senior in high school, my high school, they gave us the option to do something that's called senior project. And so senior project is the last month of your senior year. You could choose a passion project and you got to pursue it. And so if you were in AP classes, you went to those classes, but the rest of your classes you didn't have to go to.
Oh, wow.
So it sounds super lax, but they did have some requirements if you had to have 3 physical outcomes. So Shutter Girl was actually 1,000 words worth, turned Little Miss Camera, turned Shutter Girl. But my photo Instagram started my senior year of high school as a product of this project.
Gotcha.
So my specific project that I chose was comparing the difference, both visual and physical, between 3 different generations of cameras. So I compared a disposable camera to a digital camera to an iPhone.
Gotcha.
And so my different themes were nature, people, and city. And my final result, was, you know, everyone had to make a huge poster board and everyone got to visit your station. And mine had an image of a disposable camera, an image of a digital camera, an image of an iPhone. And then it had all these pictures next to each other so someone could come and look at my booth and be like, oh, that was what it looked like on disposable versus a digital versus an iPhone. All of the same image. So there was like many, many, many columns. There's three columns, many rows.
Gotcha. So like direct comparison to like all three of them.
And to tie that back, we had to have a sponsor at our school and a community sponsor. And so my community sponsor was my best friend from growing up's uncle, who's a photographer. So he lent me this camera for my freshman year. I had signed up for a film class at Tulane where I went to college.
Oh, okay.
And there was like a whole darkroom section. There was also digital, but we needed to come with a film camera.
Gotcha.
And so he lent me this camera for my freshman year of college. And so this is actually the camera that I first ever shot film on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The Nikon that we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Beautiful. And so was that after you had that camera? You got it again after your camera gear was stolen?
Yes.
So it's this exact same camera?
Exact same
camera. So it's a very full circle.
Very full circle.
Wow.
Yes.
That's really sweet, actually.
And it's also weird because when my gear was stolen, there was also a whole nother shift or shedding of like, I was working in the corporate world and then I kind of went to more freelance work.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of change. I also moved at that time to a different apartment. So that was a season of change for sure.
Gotcha. Did it change like within like your like kind of like photography journey as well? Or was it just kind of like clean slate? Like, let's get moving.
I think I do a lot more work within the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot more exposure to that level or, you know, quote, professional photographers, quote. I love the photographers I work with. I still think you're professional. but, you know, I'm on a lot of sets where there are celebrities, where there are publicists, and it's a lot different than shooting with your friends or shooting, you know, I like doing documentaries. It's a lot different than me going to the smog shop and approaching the car man and asking to interview him and take photos.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have... I really am grateful for my opportunity to be able to be around people that have such different interests within the photography world, mm-hmm. whether it be for movies or larger photo shoots and also hobbyists as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I still have something else in my bag.
We have more in the bag.
We have more in the bag, of course.
Beautiful.
Okay. You're going to be like, get this girl out of here. So this camera... This was gifted to me in November by one of my best friends for my birthday, and she got this off of eBay, and it is an Olympus IS-1, and so this is another film camera, and that I also think of how I love this gift because she didn't say, hey, choose a camera, mm-hmm. and I'll get it for you.
Yeah.
She just got it.
It's
a funky looking one.
As soon as you pulled it out, I was immediately intrigued because I don't know if I've ever seen anything like the shape of it.
Well, when I opened it, I thought this was a video camera.
It does look like it. It looks like an old school video camera, like the little like ones that have like little like hand sleeve on the side.
Yeah, and pops out to see the
exactly
the viewfinder. But yeah, so I actually just took my first test roll. I think a week and a half ago at one of the Venice Photo Club happy hours at El Chucho? Yeah, at El Chucho. And I had Mira develop the film. She did a fabulous job.
Shout out to Mira's Photo Lab.
It was fun. Yeah, of course. Shout out. And it was really exciting to get the film back and to have a lot of my friends from Photo Club on that first roll.
Does having this camera make it harder to... Have you gotten the photos back?
I have.
Does this camera make it harder for your stance about not being able to afford film?
I love the feeling of getting a WeTransfer link mm-hmm. and getting to see the film.
There's nothing quite like it.
Like, it's just really exciting, and I think a lot of the times you forget what you had taken
yeah.
or, like, what had been happening that night. And it definitely makes you want to shoot more, but this camera is very bizarre in terms of when you click the shutter, it does not take. So, you know, Kurt and Mira over there, I took some photos of them, and they can attest to the fact that they had to probably hold their smile for like maybe 30 seconds. I think I still have to experiment more with the camera, but I think that it needs a certain amount of light.
Oh, interesting.
To maybe trigger the shutter, I have to play it with something. But, you know, I didn't think this roll was going to come out.
Like, at all?
First of all, it's very difficult to load the film into this camera.
Interesting. Okay.
And I'll actually show you the photos. Let me pull my
phone out of the camera. You're really selling me on this camera. Just hard to load.
No.
Doesn't take pictures well. Looks cool.
It's crazy because I was so shocked at how it came out. And I think everyone else around me was also shocked.
Like, in a good way?
In a good way. You would think that this camera had no issues and was very easy to use.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, very great colors.
Wait, sorry.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, no blur. Yeah, these all look...
Right?
Yeah, like these look like they were taken with ease.
Oh,
there's a
boy. Oh, no. Kurt. There was a lot of struggle in there.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Goodness.
So those were the pictures. And that was also my first time shooting film in almost a year.
Really?
Seems to be that I go on year, like, hiatus.
Yeah, you just go on like
year.
Big sabbaticals.
Yeah.
Just between anything that you can like just gap out. Like, that's just
so weird.
How
but
you
I guess,
do it.
You know. I'm very busy, so uh-huh. maybe, you know, there's not so much, you always can make the time. But I have lots of passions that I focus on, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's good to start one up again.
Yeah, I think we all, like, creatively, I think we all go through, like, trends.
Right.
Like, we all find something that we're, like, even more intrigued with for, like, a minute, and then
yeah.
it's not because we don't like something else. It's just because we're more infatuated with that one thing, and then we find it again, and it's just like you restart all over
right.
again in terms of like, I completely forgot that I like had this entire thing in my back pocket.
Yeah.
You know, even the fact that you have like black and white film from college.
Oh, I
like,
know.
I'm sure that you shot a lot in college and uh-huh. then it's just like been a gap. And then.
Yeah. I actually have a lot of those photos that I took and developed in the dark room in my room in Los Angeles. So those are some of the first pictures that I ever took. And they're still some of my favorites.
I feel like that is like such a trend for people. Like the amount of people that I talk to that love some of the earliest work that they ever did.
Well, yeah, I think a large part of that is that people, they don't, whether it's their own standards or expectations, it's mm-hmm. kind of like when you're a kid, like you're just having a good time and you're just playing and not worrying about the outcome. I
yeah.
think there's a lot less pressure on yourself when you're trying something new.
You're less critical.
Yes. Or you have more creative juices without being worried about how that might be perceived by mm-hmm. others.
It'd be nice to be able to just like go back to that instead of being your own biggest critic.
Yep. Self-talk.
But yeah. Yeah. Did yes. we make it all the way through the bag?
No, we're not yet. We're not
okay.
Yet.
We're not okay. all the way through the
so
bag.
So this is where the computer department is.
Okay. We're in the very back pocket.
Yes. We're in the very back pocket. First of all, okay, I'm learning today that I love like little gadgets.
Little tiny notebooks.
Because this is my schedule. And so basically, you know, I have everything in here of what I do, whether it be work related, friend related. Yeah, so this is really handy. I got it from Amazon. I will send you the link after.
Yeah, link in bio.
Yeah, link in bio.
Yeah.
In my link tree that doesn't exist. And then I have this little package or this little zip. What do you call it?
Like a pencil case?
Yeah, pencil case.
Yeah.
And I have like a Tide stick. I have glue stick. I have my inhaler in case I get
the
a
essentials,
little wheezy
yes.
on, you know, day to day. I have my glue stick.
Of course.
I like to collage, so sometimes that comes in handy.
If you ever need a travel
yes.
collage.
Yes. And you never know. I have like a highlighter. I have a few different colored pens. I'm very color organized. And then I have my wallet.
Great. Important.
And it's kind of cool because it's like an accordion.
That is nice. I am always jealous that men's wallets are not more fun.
Hey.
It's not that I have to carry one.
You should be
one.
An entrepreneur. Create one.
I should. But every time, and there are so many ads on Instagram that are just like, get this like piece of metal wallet that just is a clip. And it's
seen as easy.
Yeah.
But it's not as, yeah.
It's just
efficient.
I just want something fun and playful.
So this is my networking bracelet.
Networking bracelet.
Yes. So I was at I was at Melrose Trading Post, and I met this guy who was selling clothes, and he had this on, and it's called a Popple. Okay. And so you wear it on your wrist, and someone touches their phone to it, and they download your contact, which also gives them access to your Venmo, your LinkedIn, your Instagram, your Twitter, your website, like anything you could want them to have.
Yeah.
Email, text message. And he knew a guy, or I guess he has a friend who works for Popple, so he gave me one, which is really nice.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, I have the class, like I have my business card in here. I have some cards, and then I also have a stone rock that's a heart that my dad gave me.
That's nice.
Thanks. A few hair ties, you know.
Yeah, all the essentials.
There's like a very large pile accumulating to my right of all my stuff. Okay.
It's almost
these
as big
are the
as
last
you are.
Three things.
Okay, last three things.
I got my passport.
You carry your passport with you at all times?
So I did lose my license last weekend, so it's coming in the mail, but I do have my passport and my COVID vaccination card if I should need it.
The important information,
yeah.
Yes.
Because, yeah. I have my journal. Some
your
people
big,
call it a
big
diary.
Your big journal.
No, this is like where I write.
Oh,
like,
like journal. You know, okay,
like,
I understand.
Wouldn't let you read this.
I wouldn't ask.
Okay, cool. They're going to say you wouldn't want to. I'm like, yeah, you would. Just kidding. Okay. And then I also have this journal, which is basically my to-do list. And, you know, it's by day. And one thing that I would really recommend to people who have a to-do list is instead of doing like to-do, I have two sections. So one is need to do. So you have to get done that day. And then the other one is want to do.
Yeah.
So things that don't have to get done that day, but that you would like to cross off your list.
Yeah, eventually.
If you had the minute.
You get the time.
Yeah. So it kind of just breaks down and a list doesn't become as overwhelming as it typically is.
Yeah. Does that include like bigger aspirations, like want
no.
to do? Okay.
So that is in my creative journal.
That's in the small
That's
journal.
That's the tiny little yellow
the
leather
hmm
one.
Journal.
Yeah, the
Yes.
Yes.
So in this journal, it's want to do are just still like pretty specific, like smaller
like my
things.
Want to do would be finish my website or work on my website for 30 minutes.
Need to do is...
Or do my collage or, you know.
Of course. And need to do is
need
get
to
my
do
license
is like
back.
Order my license, which I did. Yeah. Or
good.
Like send this email or follow through with...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There is a key difference in those.
Yes.
And it is important because when those blend together, it just feels overwhelming and then I end up not doing any of
exactly.
them.
Exactly. It's debilitating sometimes.
Exactly. But we made it all the way through the bag.
We made it through the bag.
Yeah, we had a lot of pockets in there. And it's not that big of a bag.
No.
Like it's deceivingly. Yeah, I want to test this. We'll just let you go. We're just gonna get into some rapid fire questions about your bag. So how long have you had this bag?
I've had this bag since the summer I graduated college, I correct myself. I got this bag this summer after my junior year of college. So junior, senior, I'm like, how old am I? I've had it for 4 years.
COVID messes everything
right?
up. So
24
yeah.
for those who are wondering.
Yeah. So it's white and it doesn't even look dirt. Well, used to be white?
I did text a photo to the friend of my mother who got this for me. And I sent it to her this week and I said, just, you know, I still use this bag, like I love it. And she's like, wow, there's a lot of color on that. I'm sure it gets good to use. So there is some very obvious dirt to the eye.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? That just means
just
I'm getting
character.
Busy and I'm doing it.
Yeah. If it was still clean, it'd be an insult
right?
to the gift giver.
I agree.
What's your favorite detail about this bag?
Thank you for asking. My favorite detail is there are these removable Velcro kind of sections. So depending on what gear you're using in your backpack, like I just removed that. So this like can separate your cameras from your lenses or your books from your cameras. Mm-hmm.
Protect it from impact, sort of thing.
And it's kind of a good organizational separator too.
So that's your favorite part of this?
I would say this is my favorite part. There's also, I don't really understand the function, but there's this zipper, which I guess just like if you wanted to grab something that was right here, you just could.
Like, it's a zipper on the side that enters like the main body.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pocket to a pants.
Yeah. So maybe if you like had like one thing, or if you had like your passport in there or something like that, you could just like grab it real fast.
But I also like this section too where you put your laptop because I like that. You know, if I was in time crunch and I need to grab my laptop quickly, I know exactly where it is.
Yeah. It seems like a very, like, you seem like a very organized person. And this seems
OCD.
Like... And this seems like a very organized backpack. Like, like it's very easy for everything to have its place.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So
even though it might not be
It seems like it matches your personality well.
Thanks.
But
you're like, because it's dirty.
Because it's dirty and
it's used.
There are useless parts of it.
Yes. I don't know. You can break it apart.
You can break it apart. It's full of secrets.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. No. So some questions about your camera now.
Yep.
You can pick probably your favorite camera, I would say, out of them.
For sure, my Fuji.
I was gonna say probably your Fuji. I've seen you toting it around recently and
toting it.
Yes. How long have you had this camera?
I got this camera, I believe, on around December 25th.
Okay, so Christmas.
I want to start a new year with a new camera.
Yeah.
This is my first big girl purchase. You know, this camera is pretty darn expensive.
Yeah.
But I will say, you know, I remember when I came to a workshop that Venz was hosting about like film scanning and buying a scanner. A lot of the times it can feel difficult to either make the purchase or justify the purchase, but it actually does pay off very quickly afterwards. Whether it's you're delivering photos that you took for a client, you know, it kind of pays off that camera pretty fast.
Yeah you gotta spend money to make money.
Yeah, it's like girl math. I'm like, spend a lot of money and then once you make money it pays it off.
It's like, all right, if I buy all of this, I just have to do this many projects back.
Yes.
To yeah, exactly.
But I really am super happy with my choice, and there's a lot of functions that I think have made my life easier and my understanding of the camera a lot more clear.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you think that it, like, it seems like a very like symbiotic, like, match for you?
We are a good match.
You guys are just
match
like
made in heaven. Yep.
This is the perfect. Don't get all those other old cameras out of here.
No. I still
no
keep
cannons.
Them around, but they don't get used much. I'm just kidding. But I would like to use the other ones as much. I think this one is very reliable, and I think digital is also very comfortable for me, especially in terms of, you know, work or clients.
Yeah.
And meeting delivery expectations.
I know that you mentioned the like film, what's the word?
Film simulations.
Yeah. The film simulations that it has. Would you say that that's your favorite part of the camera, or is there like a different part of the camera that you think like that you enjoy more?
So I would say that is definitely one of my favorites. I would say another favorite is the fact that I can, since it's touchscreen, first of all, and I can touch on my preview where I want the focus to be.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very nice.
Yeah.
And another cool part of it is that when you buy the camera, you also download a Fuji app.
Okay.
And so this camera has its own Wi-Fi. And so it connects to this app. And I was hiking in Palm Springs with my family with the camera wrapped behind my back. So the camera's facing behind me.
Okay.
And without touching my camera, just using the app, I took a video, perfect clarity, of my brother hiking without him knowing. So as someone who loves street photography, this can be really handy with taking photos without people's permission. Sorry. But it's just it's a great way to combine photography and technology.
Yeah, that's really, I hadn't really thought about, because I've like.
And I can download the photos instantly to my phone.
Yeah. So very straightforward, very easy.
Yes.
Very like mobile as well.
Very mobile.
I hadn't thought about the aspect of like street photography or even, you know, secretly recording your brother.
Yes. Secretly recording strangers or my family.
Do you do
no,
that
often?
Have you experienced that yet? Have you just like strapped it around your back and like walked down Abbot Kinney and just seen what you
can
get?
What I usually do is if I'm taking a photo of a stranger, I usually take it without them knowing, but then I let them know that I'm taking a photo, and if they give me permission, then I will continue.
Okay.
But a lot of times, once you ask for permission, of course, their body language is going to stiffen or something's going to change.
Yeah.
But that's my experience with street photography and getting people's permission.
You give yourself one freebie.
Give myself one freebie, and usually, yeah, I let them see the photos too. If I'm to put them anywhere, make sure it's cool with them.
That's fair. That's fair. That's very kind of you. Cause
there's a hard line. Yeah.
Yeah. That's still the video of your brother is still cracking me up because yeah.
Oh, you met my brother.
I did. Yeah, I did meet your brother. I didn't put two and two together, but yeah, that's
you're
really
like,
funny.
I forgot it was you, and now you're but yeah, that's another, I think that's a funny thing about me is, when I have visitors, one of the first places I want to take them to is to Venice Photo Club. Mm-hmm. So I have taken my twin brother. I've taken one of my best friends from home. I've taken some friends that I've met on set, and they've come to, you know, see what it's all about. A friend mm-hmm. that I met in a soccer league came the other week. And then I have a friend from college visiting in town, and she's coming next week. And you know who's coming in 2 weeks? My mother.
Is she coming to Photo Club?
Oh, fuck yes.
Okay, phenomenal.
She's gonna love everyone.
We have to make sure. I know that I'm terrible at the scheduling with Photo Club, but
it's every other Thursday.
Well, I know that, it's but I like don't baby. Keep yeah, you better be there because yeah. At least mom
you
is
can't
gonna
miss
be there.
It whenever yeah. anyone asks me about it, I tell them to turn on the post notification so that they get alerted when
it's actually a really good idea.
Because otherwise, it's really easy to miss those.
It really is, yeah. And yeah. Instagram can just decide that you don't get to know about it.
Yep. Or shadow banned.
Yeah. Yeah. God forbid Venice Photo Club ever gets shadow banned.
Yeah. No, that would be an injustice.
I don't know what we'd do without them. But yeah, I can attest to the fact that when your brother was at Photo Club, it was immediate, like... an immediate understanding that you wanted everyone to know that, like, to for him to know everyone,
yes,
for him to like get the entire context as quickly as possible.
Yes.
It was very sweet to watch.
Oh, I'm glad.
But yeah, he's also very kind. We talked for a long time, but yeah,
he's a good guy.
Maybe someday I'll see a video of him hiking,
or you'll see him hiking in real time.
Maybe. Is he coming back?
He'll always come back.
Okay, that's good. You've got them wrapped around your finger.
Yeah.
That's good. All righty. What is, moving on from kind of the backpack and your camera, what is your favorite non-camera body piece of equipment or accessory?
Non-camera
we kind of went through like everything. It doesn't necessarily have to be like lens-based or camera-based. Like if there's one part of even the things that we went through, what would you say
is the most
valuable?
I can think of something. I really enjoy self-expression, whether it's, you know, being able to learn more from someone else without speaking to them based off of like how they portray themselves, or also kind of putting more detail in the way that I carry myself. So one thing that I love on this Olympus camera is the fact that I have a ladybug sticker on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that at one of my friends who I met who works at Sammy's Camera, and he gave that to me, which was super sweet. But I also do love, you know, getting a new camera strap or mm-hmm. someone at Photo Club. I can't think of their name, only met them once, but they had this sticker that wrapped around their whole camera body. So it made their camera look like it was made out of Legos. Like just really interesting things that catch your eye that you don't see on each person who carries a camera.
Just a little bit of personality.
Yeah, just something that sticks out.
Yeah. When you brought your camera out of the bag, I saw the ladybug. And at first I thought it was a light sensor because like some of the old film cameras have that little like white like dome
you're right.
on the top.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I noticed that it was a ladybug.
This light sensor has red back and black dots
and a bunch of legs.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would be fun if they could pivot that into a light sensor or make a light sensor that looked like a little ladybug.
Yeah, we're having a lot of like business ideas here.
Yeah, honestly, anybody Amazing. Can take them because I don't have the discipline to actually do
yeah,
any of it.
Yeah, we're not coining it.
Yeah, exactly. You guys
no
can have
trademark.
It. But no, that's always fun to see when people mm-hmm. have the ability to kind of express themselves and to be yeah. able to push, not push, but like right. to be able to show more of themselves.
Yeah. Also, it's really cool when people are just like, yeah, I just want mine to be clean.
Yeah.
Plain.
Yeah.
But one of my cameras that was stolen, which made me really sad. Honestly, camera, it's fine. But what made me sad about it is that I had about 20 pins on my camera. And all those pins were collected from different places, whether it be when I was studying abroad in Sevilla or when I lived in New Orleans, when I went to school there, or when I met an artist and they gave me a pin of theirs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm trying to So it was weird because those pins, like, as you say, I'm very organized or detail-oriented. Mm-hmm. I noticed they kept falling off, so I even went as far as to purchase pin backings that lock from Amazon.
Interesting.
And I put those on my pins. So I like checked Craigslist. Like I was like, they can't, I mean, they could take the strap off.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I have yet to build that pin collection back. Part mm-hmm. of me is a little worried that that could happen again. So I don't want to get too attached.
That's fair. Just the yeah. fear of being hurt again.
Yes. Everyone's worst nightmare.
Oh my goodness. All right. What would you say that your bag is missing? Like if there's one thing that you could add to your bag, that would just be like an essential. What would you add?
I think this is funny because I'm thinking about Kurt because he just came out with a zine. But I think if I had a zine of photos that I had taken to show whoever I'm taking photos of, or if I meet someone on the street who's like, what is this for? If I could kind of give them, as a visual person, I could give them a visual representation yeah. of why I'm doing what I'm doing.
That's a really cool
and
idea.
And sometimes that also makes people more comfortable with the fact.
Yeah. Just like an immediate answer. Like a,
yeah.
Yeah, very... A very easy way to describe what you do without having to stand there and talk to them
yes.
and try to encapsulate everything that you do.
Or like a way to make them feel comfortable and understanding where the images are going or what your motive is.
Yeah. And a little bit of credibility as well.
Yes. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I had a lady yell at me one time.
Because a lady?
She thought that I was taking pictures as like an insurance person, like trying to like send them a claim or something. She got so mad.
Were you taking
mad.
Pictures of her car?
I was taking pictures of a car in a driveway. I was in the street, so it was like.
Oh my gosh. I've done that too, and I've never thought about that. Like someone looking out of their window and being like, why are they taking my license plate?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. And if I would have been able to, at the time I was a student, so it was really easy to be like, I'm so sorry, I'm just a student.
Yeah,
I just like
a class project.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they were like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But to be able to have like the little bit of credibility, the little bit of explanation of like,
yeah.
no, this is just for me. Like, it's not anything
right.
crazy. Like
not making money off of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
It's almost like a business card, but like a more
yes.
like,
I also think when something's tangible, there's a lot more trust or
yeah.
understanding. So if I were to be able to give this person a physical copy, whether it's to keep or just to like kind of gaze through,
yeah,
I think them turning the pages, like that makes them more interested and kind of, you know, sparks their interest a little bit more.
Yeah, because you can show someone your Instagram. Like, we do it, like, 100 times a day. But
right.
it's, like...
But there's nothing... You know, it's the same as, like, writing... Instead of writing someone a thank you email, you actually send them a thank you letter.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's... I do have a lot of mentors in my life. And one of them did tell me to do that. If I have an interview and I really enjoyed the person's, you know, presence or what they're doing, is to write them a physical thank you card. And I've done that a few times, and it always ends up... Well, so
always works out
I would
well.
Recommend that too.
Pro life tip right there.
Yes.
Absolutely. If there was one camera that you could use for the rest of your life, you could only use one. You have to pick one and that's
Fuji.
The only one. It'd be the Fuji.
Even
though it's like a little bit bigger.
So I think I prefer a medium sized camera to a small or a big. Like I like the idea of a small camera, but part of me has more faith that a medium-sized camera will be capturing whatever it is I'm taking a picture of better. And I can't explain it, but that's my intuition and my feeling.
An object permanence.
And my object permanence and comfortability.
Yeah, for sure.
Or like cognitive dissonance, I don't know.
Yeah, so this Fuji right here, like This entire thing, you've been speaking so highly of it. Like, it's convincing me that it's like, I need to start shooting with one. Yeah, just send the entire thing. You'd be like, I'm your biggest fan.
I'll be an ambassador.
I will sing your praises constantly.
But then again, like, I'm not going to say I'm new to photography because I've been doing it as a hobby, you know, since I was obsessed with Visco and using my iPhone camera when beginning of high school. Mm-hmm. But I think I would have to spend time with other cameras in order to answer that question to my full capability.
To actually be able to, like, have a more educated guess.
I really do like all the technological advancements that this camera has compared to the ones that I've used in the past. Mm-hmm. One thing that's really important for me, which maybe is why I'm not so great at, you know, being like, okay, turn your shutter speed to this, your ISO to this, is I like that when I turn these dials, I actually see it changing in the preview.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's easier to...
It's instantaneous and I feel more quick on my feet. But even though I still know which way I'm turning the dial. So I know that I'm either going higher or lower. So I still do gain that understanding.
Yeah, it helps. There's less guesswork.
Yes.
Absolutely. Is this your dream camera or is there another one out there that, because I know this is very new and you...
I'm not even going to say I have a dream camera, but I'm going to say my dream with cameras is I would love to have a camera room in my house. I work with a few different photographers and their camera collections are insane. Mm-hmm. You know, like rooms in their house with like different shelves filled with cameras. Like, I think that is so cool. I'm also, as you can see, like I place a lot of importance on objects. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to be in a room, be able to tell someone, you know, this camera I've been using since I was a freshman in college or, you know, in high school, or this camera was, you know, I shot my first ever large campaign, or I think that that would be, like, as lore. A visual person, I would love to have some sort of representation like that of memories.
Yeah. And just have like the entire room dedicated to that. Like, just kind of like my first thought is like a James Bond, like weapons room, but like just for cameras.
But this is safer.
Yeah, much safer. Honestly, yes, absolutely. Know. You're still shooting, you know?
Yeah, you're still shooting. Danger.
Yeah, that would be really fun to just kind of have the lore of like the cameras behind, especially if you've been doing it for
my weapon room.
Yeah.
Okay, just... that's getting weird fast.
To have the lore of like all of your cameras, whether that's even if you like end up having the point and shoot that we referenced earlier, the one that you're on lease with, you know, from your friend, like if you end up keeping that camera or something happens, like having that backstory of like, this is how this came into my life. This is like, you know, the project that I did with it or whatever that makes it significant, that makes it impactful for you.
Yes. And like to, you know, kind of jump onto that, I think, you know, I would say that a lot of my photo work, the style is more documentary or documentarian. Mm-hmm. And this kind of relates to my grandpa, who's 82 years old today. And he is a huge documentarian, not in photography, but in writing. So since he was 22 years old, he has written a page a day on a legal pad about his life.
Wow.
So if
60 years of legal pads. Of
Tony Sauber. And so if I were to go, you know, I've talked about digitizing it for like convenience, but I could go back and if I found the legal pad that was dated the year 1999, I could read about what it was like being in the hospital room when I was born in Chicago.
Wow.
Or the day that he met my grandmother, you know, or even like, I'm sure there's mementos from my day-to-day conversations with him these days. I have always classified myself as having time dysmorphia, which is a made-up word, and basically like the fear of time passing. So I think that that is where my love and passion for photography stems from.
Yeah.
Like even a camera room, like some sort of collection of memories. But I also have thought, you know, it's in my little journal, like I would love to have a room in my house where I have a photo of every single house that I've ever lived in, or a photo of every single car that I've ever owned.
Yeah.
I haven't owned more than one car.
so you can still start.
Yes. Or like even like every pair of shoes. Like I am a very like,
yeah,
Yeah.
That type of, as I mentioned, like my background, a lot of my background is in documentary as well. And that has always, that style of photography where it's like a very simple thing that everybody has.
Yes.
Has always intrigued me.
Yes. Agree. Like, oh, urinals.
Yes.
That's,
yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So something that everybody uses or something that everybody has. There's this one photographer that inspired me. I feel like you need to give
the listeners background why I just screamed urinals.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Just for backstory, I take pictures of urinals that I use, and it's a very like run and gun method. Like they're not very high quality photos because they're in like public bathrooms.
Yeah, and you probably should be carrying around
a
camera.
No, exactly. Yeah. And so like most of the time, like I've never been called out about it, but I usually try to just like take it immediately.
Yeah.
And or like without anybody else being in the bathroom. Yes. Like sometimes I'll wait in the bathroom, which is almost weirder.
You're like sitting. Yeah. Wait, you don't sit in a man's bathroom.
No. Okay. Well, you can. Yeah. It depends on what you're doing in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's why Ellie screamed urinals, is because I do have a small series of urinal photos that I post.
Yeah. And like in terms, sometimes certain qualities or things, words that I associate with people, that sticks in my head more than people's real names. So, you know, when I saw your name in that group chat when we were coordinating for today and I looked at your picture, I literally said, urinal boy, you know, like that's how my brain works.
That's all I'm gonna be to the Venice Photo Club for a while.
Hey,
though.
So can't top that.
To be fair,
it's an honor.
Nobody else is urinal boy.
No one comes close.
Maybe I should just change my.
Why don't you make your handle?
I bet
urinal
that
boy.
Handle is free too.
Check it.
Just urinal boy.
And if
boy.
It's not, drop that money and get it.
I can only imagine.
Drop your pants. I
can only imagine reaching out to Urinal Boy, because who wants
that
to be?
That should be your bio. Drop your pants. You're gonna get like blocked by everyone.
Everyone's gonna be like, who? Am I allowed to swear? Who the fuck is this guy that
is
just?
You're like, fuck.
Who the fuck is this guy that's the Urinal Boy and drop your pants? Because that makes it sound a little bit more aggressive.
Totally.
Anyway, the photographer that inspired me originally within that, she would take pictures of people's refrigerators. Mm. And it's something that everyone has no matter where you are, like in the world or wealth or anything like that. And taking pictures of something that everybody has, it tells a story. It tells so much about who that person is.
Yes.
Even within like that one picture.
So I'm going to send you this photographer. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but again, I write down a lot of things. So I have like a Google Sheets of like photographers that I think are really cool. Cause I cannot remember names for the life of me. I just remember what their subject is.
Yep,
so this
right
one photographer, I'm pretty sure they might be German because Germans are like known for being documentarians. Mm-hmm. But this man, he clears out people's houses and puts all their furniture and belongings in front of their house and takes a picture of the person with all of their belongings.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like really cool to see.
Yeah, yeah.
As you can imagine.
I can only imagine like the difference in some people's houses.
Yeah. In terms of like shape, color, like of their belongings, textures, like
especially
really
outside, especially outside the context of like the four walls that everything is within.
Yeah. It's pretty vulnerable.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yep.
No, and I really want to return to that, what you were saying about your grandpa and how that's just kind of been like an inspiration for you because it does go very hand in hand with like documentary photography and documenting things as they happen and being able to like have that database of those things that you can look back and be like, this is why this was important. This is why I value this. This is the history of that, whether it's your shoes or your cars or stuff like that. Like that, so much of that talks about who you are.
Even like I have like a gross amount of photos on my phone. And that is because, again, being a visual person, if, you know, my mom, if I'm with my mom, she's like, you know, like, how's your week been? I'll just show her photos on my phone because I take a picture of like shit that I cook, like pictures of my friends having fun or, you know, like that's just how my mind works. And when I was in college for like, think for 3 years I used that silly app called 1 Second a Day, which is where you take a video and it like makes a huge montage. But I just think that I have such a strong tie between visuals and my memories. And so that's kind of how I conserve them.
Yeah. Serve your memories?
Conserve.
Conserve. Okay.
Yes.
That's, yeah.
I'm always serving. Come on. Serving memories.
Serving memories, day in and day out.
That's what you should call the title of this podcast, Serving Memories.
We absolutely. In terms of like your documentary style, is there, I guess it doesn't have to be in like documentary either, but has there been a favorite place that you have to photograph?
That's a great question. I think this is maybe a common answer, but I love, like, I always feel my most inspired with a camera in a hand when I am in another country, or even when I'm on vacation and it's within the U.S.
Yeah.
I just think that there is so much to learn from other people, whether it be other cultures or just, you know, what their day-to-day life is like. And so my favorite place to photograph that I've ever photographed, I would have to say, I'm thinking about, like, you know, on my website that's being built, I have probably like 115 plus prints that will be available for sale. Mm-hmm. And a majority of them, or like a large majority of them, are like, I don't know if the word would be beach centric, but would be of beaches when I was abroad.
Gotcha.
And one of them is in Cadiz, Spain, which is on the coast. And everyone tends to love this one photo that I took there, and it's framed in a few people's rooms. So
it's got some traction. Yeah,
it's got some traction.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, by the way, was very difficult to photograph because there were a lot of nude women on the beach, or topless women.
Uh-huh.
And I really didn't want to get anyone's boobs in my photos.
Yeah, doesn't sell well.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it probably sells
well.
That's fair. Yeah.
But it doesn't sit well.
Understandably.
Yes.
Understandably. Would you say that documentary is your favorite style of photo to do?
Yes. It's also my favorite to view.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that usually goes hand in hand?
I think that it can be difficult for people to want to pursue documentary photography because a lot of it is not just who you are behind the camera, but it's also who you are in front of the camera, whether it be approaching people and asking for permission or getting yourself in a weird situation, or having to crouch in a really low space to get a certain angle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you kind of have to be open to experimenting and, you know, experiencing some things that come along with being bold.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That was very profound. I don't even have a follow-up for that.
Thanks.
Do you have anywhere in like LA that you would want to shoot, that you prefer to shoot,
yes,
or that you haven't that you would like to?
I'm forgetting what it's called. I don't even know if I would want you guys to put it in there.
What? Is it embarrassing? Oh,
no, it's not embarrassing. It's just very controversial, but it is Skid Row.
Oh, okay.
I
don't know if that's controversial document it.
It is, in terms of, I think, you know, trying to capture someone's situation that they might not, you know, be in voluntarily or profiting off of in some way, even if you're not selling the photograph, just gaining exposure or gaining some sort of positive affirmation for that.
Yeah.
The reason why I would like to photograph it is because I have heard that it is just very, it's a very different way of life. So again, I like, you know, I think of my subjects of, you know, one of the projects I do, which is called Street Meet, which is meeting people on the street, documentary type project. It's always people that are from a different walk of life than myself, because I'm a very curious person. I like to learn, and, you know, people always have such different stories than my own path of life. So I think that I'm able to kind of understand whether it's myself or them or the world better, being able to draw from different different people and stories.
Yeah.
So back to Skid Row, I would say I'm also a people person. And I would honestly, I think I just, there's a lot of questions and conversations that I think if I'm alone, I can get into. But I think if someone else is with me, which I know I, as a 24-year-old girl, I should not be going to Skid Row alone. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad, I'm not doing it. but yeah. And that's, that I don't even know if you'd ask this, but I like shooting alone. Mm-hmm. I don't like being with other people. And that's just in reason that, you know, my eye is drawn to a lot of random things and I don't want anyone to think that I'm slowing down their walk.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, I'm stopping too much. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want that pressure. And I also do get myself in conversations that, you know, God knows where that leads, but yeah, they're always interesting. And I think a lot of people, you know, my friends in college used to make fun of me because they would say, did your dad never teach you stranger danger? You know, but I think that I have a very good read on people. And if it's a dangerous situation, I know how to get out of it, mm-hmm, as I've learned. But I think, you know, I can be a very trusting person, possibly to a default. But a lot of other people aren't willing to take the time or energy to kind of figure that out for themselves.
Yeah, I do think it's important to go at your own cadence.
Yeah, totally.
When you're shooting, like whether that's walking or whether that's just like sitting and looking, like I think it is hard to do that with other people.
Yeah.
Especially if it's something that you're really passionate about. Like if I'm just going on like a photo walk with someone,
yeah,
that's one thing, because it's like, that's just like kind of the vibe. But if it's, right, something that I'm really passionate about and I need to like sit and take things in.
Yeah.
And like if I need to, even what you were talking about, like angles wise, like if you need to take the time to figure out, okay, is this going to work? Is that, right, going to work? Like,
or like changing the lighting or the, yeah.
Exactly. I think like it's really important to not feel the pressure from other people. Mm-hmm. Even if they're like, even if they have the like most well-intentioned, I think,
yeah,
I would just feel like, okay, I'm so sorry, I'm just like slowing us down.
Right. And I also don't want to feel like I have to be making conversation, because, yeah, a lot of times I'm talking in my head, mm-hmm, to myself. And I don't want to have to like remember that there's someone else that I'm trying to like entertain or keep up with. And,
yeah,
so, you know, a lot of times when I do different variations of art, whether it's photography or like collaging, like it's always either with no sound or listening to music.
Mm-hmm. Just depends on your headspace.
Yeah. Gotta dial in.
Exactly. Is there a place in California that you'd want to shoot next? We're just going to slowly expand.
Totally.
Just as a...
Okay. In California... I know you sent these to me, Mike. I know you sent these to me.
Before. It's also okay if not.
Okay. Can you list off some places? Like, not San Diego, not Joshua Tree, not Laguna, not Newport...
I mean, like, even, like, San Francisco, or, oh, if you want to go to the Redwoods, or Mammoth, or,
okay,
or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. I would love to go to, I've never been to Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
I like taking photos of nature, but honestly, I'm a big people person, so, mm-hmm, if it's a photo of nature, there has to be at least one person in it, whether they're far away, or it's their body, or someone's walking. So, honestly... Wherever the people are, I'm there.
There are people in Lake Tahoe. Yeah. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah.
I wish that we could just go, yeah, and enjoy, totally, it solo with no one else. But,
yeah,
there are a lot of people there.
Yeah. So, oh, I've always wanted to go to Ojai or Morro Bay. Oh,
okay.
Just for like personal reasons. And I would like to maybe photograph there.
Of course.
Yeah.
Is there any? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just thinking about a time that I road tripped with my friends from LA to San Francisco, and, mm-hmm, I brought my camera, and I had the best time taking photos of, you know, how it unraveled and the places that we stopped along the way that, you know, weren't predetermined or predestined.
Yeah.
And, so I love road trips, so I think that would be fun to do.
I feel like that's the pinnacle of what we were talking about earlier, and just like, yeah, documenting like, yes, the important aspects, exactly, of things, and just because there are
you're
so many
catching on.
Even just in the concept of things that are like easily forgotten is just like some of the smaller details on like a road trip. Like you don't remember what song you sang, like when you guys were all singing together with the windows
down.
Yeah,
when I take a photo of something, I really do remember it. Yeah. Like I can picture like what my best friend ate for lunch in San Francisco because I have a photo of it.
Exactly.
You know, like it was some weird eggplant dish. Freaking vegan.
Classic.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. No, I do think that it really does change like the dynamic when you're able to look back on those memories.
Yeah.
Is there a space in the United States, like whole country, that you've wanted to go to shoot?
In the United States, New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico would be fun.
I've never been to New Mexico.
It's pretty close.
Yeah. I think I should get in my car and go there. But like another, like I sometimes also like, I don't know if it's ironic or unironic, but like also like I would love to go to Florida and take pictures of like, how do you pronounce it? Floridians?
Floridians, yeah.
Like just like it's such a different way of life that I'm so intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems kind of fun to me, you know?
Yeah, I think there's some fun in the documentary style of photography because the entire goal is to just document what's already there.
Yeah.
And so many places that you can go,
mm-hmm.
like life is so different.
Right.
Like Floridians or even New Mexico or like New England, you know, in Maine. Like it's a completely different lifestyle.
Of course, I'm forgetting the name of this photographer. He's on the spreadsheet. But there was a project of his where he drove across the United States and he took pictures within each state that he went through, which all of them. And that was like a really interesting project to be able to get a sense of, you know, the way of life or the people that reside in those states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this like a more like modern, like a more contemporary, or was it like an older one?
More contemporary. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just, even if it was like one photo from each state, like it completely changes the dynamic of everything.
Yeah.
We're going to go into a little bit of your history.
Ooh.
So when did you get into photography? We might have touched on this a little bit earlier.
Yeah. I definitely started with an iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, and
the Visco era.
I think a lot of people kind of like brush that over.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like making, there was these things called journals within the Visco app. So it's kind of like photo books. Wherever vacation I would go on, I would like, it would be like, you know, it would be a document of like a picture of the hotel, what I ate for the meals. And it would be something that you would scroll through. So kind of like a blog.
Yeah.
Some would say.
Yeah.
And I loved making those. And I thought it was such a cool way to kind of have these little books of like little memories, like on a little shelf. And I was sad when Visco took that feature away. And then I have not used Visco since high school, but I would credit Visco to my love for photography, which sounds crazy to say.
Well, I feel like Visco has like a lot of...
I feel like it was like an older Lightroom for me, or more basic Lightroom.
Yeah, I think it like introduced a lot of people to just like the absolute basics of like what you can do like in editing.
Yeah.
Even if it was presets or stuff like that, like the amount, I remember like using Visco and like I wouldn't even do the journals. You were really using it.
I was typing away.
You were fully utilizing that app. But like I would just like use it to edit and then like throw it on Instagram or like whatever. I had like I remember I would use the B4 filter.
Okay.
Oh,
I think I was like C3.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do it. I'd pull the blues up a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was a genius.
You
want to
know something funny? Let me see. I think I know it off the top of my head. But a lot of people don't know this about me, but in addition to editing my photos, whether it be on Lightroom or in Photoshop, I'm going to try capture one in the next week. But I also add Instagram filters on top of my photos.
Do you really?
I do. Every photo has an Instagram filter.
Not even the same one.
At least some degree. Well, I always use a little bit. Even if it's like 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
It's being used, or 2 points. I just always put it on. So like, let's say right now, I do always use a little bit of, I think it's of Paris. Yeah, a little bit of Paris. And then I always use, you know, brightness, a little bit of structure, some highlights or shadows or sharpen, even though I literally already added that all
in
on
Lightroom.
A more professional platform.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know if it's habit, but yeah, I always use it.
So after it's exported from Lightroom or Photoshop or whatever,
yep, it goes Instagram edits.
Into your Instagram, and then you yep. add additional edits on top with the Instagram tools.
Yep, it's a sandwich of edits.
I love that you're editing a raw image and then exporting it onto Instagram and then
it goes from raw to JPEG to like Instameg. Like
that's, you're really dialing in everything. Even, okay, would you say you were showing me some film photos earlier?
Yes.
Did the same thing?
Same thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So just the Paris, a little bit of the Paris filter.
A little bit.
Just gives it a little bit of that
like
goofy
goob. Points of the Paris, like, and then it's definitely brightness, shadows, highlights, structure, sharpen.
That's the
even if it's to 2 degrees, mm-hmm. In my eyes, it really makes a difference.
You're like, this is what makes it pop.
Yes.
This is what makes it mine.
This is what, yes, it's what makes it me.
It's your signature.
Yeah. Even though my signature is my name, like in the most fourth grade cursive handwriting ever, that is my signature.
The signature look, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is the sig.
It's just the Paris Instagram filter.
Just like a little bit. Like, don't even say it like that. Like, it'd be like the pear, as in the Paris. Pe. Like, it's literally just the first three letters. Yeah. Per. Yeah.
Pe.
Yeah. You got
incredible.
It.
Incredible.
You have it down.
I should start doing that on my urinals.
Yeah. No, don't use, I don't want like your Paris to be on the urinals.
I'm not
like,
going to use Paris. I'll use my own.
No, use like Clairdon or I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Anything. Or the Buenos Aires one.
Yeah, you can't taint.
Okay. I won't
perception.
Touch your signature. It's yours. Yeah. I understand. I won't touch it.
Thank you.
I know that we talked about your grandfather earlier and his like documentary.
Yes.
Was there anyone in your family that took pictures that like kind of helped you get into it? Or was it more just like the project that we had talked about earlier?
I think a lot of people could maybe attest to this, that it's funny to think about, where I know a lot of my baby, we have like all these baby albums and I always look through it and there's no photos of like my mom, a lot of my mom signed a lot of them mm-hmm. because she was behind the camera.
Gotcha.
And it's funny because, you know, that generation, they grew up with like digital cameras or film cameras before that. And my mom only uses her iPhone now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny for people to be, you know, whether it be progressing with the times, but then also our generation trying to regress a bit,
yeah.
or use what they used for not survival, but just out of habit or
yeah.
out of like, you know, basic what was given to them or
yeah.
what their options
were.
It
was the only option at that
yes.
point.
So yeah, it definitely is weird for her to go from using a different generation, I mean, different generational camera to the iPhone, and then me going from an iPhone to a different type of camera.
It's just
like the roles are reversed.
You
it's
crossed
Freaky
each
Friday.
Other at one point, yeah.
Yep.
I've had a couple like older people be like, I just haven't touched a film camera in so long.
Yeah.
When I'm like playing around with mine or something like that, and then you like hand it to them, and it feels like they just like wash over with like nostalgia.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to me because I would assume that that's something that they'd be comfortable with.
Yeah.
But it's just a completely different conversation mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah.
So would you say that your mom, like, influenced you at all? Or just kind of, that's kind of the way that you experienced it as you were growing up?
I think when I was younger, I also formed a lot of friendships with I'm friends with a lot of adults.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a lot of friends that are, like, much older than, you know, if I said a friend, someone wouldn't guess that that was their age.
Yeah.
But I would make friends with the people who would photograph my family portraits.
Interesting.
And so that's actually how I started kind of building, like, whether it be, like, my quote-unquote brand or, like, my freelance. I don't know. I don't have a what's it called? It's like the business title, like you get LLC. I don't have an LLC,
oh, yeah.
but like my company.
Mm-hmm.
I started with portraits and graduation photos when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
So like taking pictures of people's birthday parties or DJ events, that's kind of how I got into it. But I think that that's kind of where I really was curious about the profession of photography or people taking photos.
That was the initial spark.
Yeah, and I have a soft place in my heart for taking photos of kids and of families. Mm-hmm. I still do that for people. I never advertise it. I guess I do. I'll post some of the photos, but I don't say like, you know, hit me up if you want family portraits. But if you really did look on my website, if you looked at family portraits, the old website, there are multiple Orthodox Jewish families. And that was weirdly like my niche, is because the Chabad at Tulane, I took photos of them and then they referenced me to like their cousins of a different Chabad. And then, you know, I live in Brentwood and I met the family who owns the Chabad down the street. And then they refer to me to their cousin to shoot for their Hanukkah party.
Okay.
And, you know, I've taken pictures for the JCC in Los Angeles. So that's like a weird intersection that like I would never see previously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming.
Yeah. Just, and it's all just through the opportunities.
It's always word of mouth, you know, and I think that as someone who, you know, does freelance or is a creative, I think that, you know, a lot of people would agree that that's sometimes the best type of marketing is, you know, giving someone, you know, having a good first impression or being great on set. You know, good people know good people and want to spread the word.
Yeah. If people enjoy what you do and you enjoy being around you, they're going to talk about you as soon as somebody goes, I need a blah, insert whatever, and be
production assistant.
Oh, well, guess who takes the best pictures? You know.
Yeah, and I was thinking. Ellie. Thank you. I was thinking about this when I was driving on the way here. Like, what type of advice I've gotten in the industry that has been really helpful or, you know, important? And I think there is a big discrepancy with when you're growing older, you're entering the work field that you have to act professional. You know, like I think when I speak to people, whether it be like our age or older, I honestly have a very similar demeanor.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, when I was working in the corporate world, I think I would come off as, you know, not being immature, but just not being as professional as the people around me. And I think the best part of advice that I got from someone that I had worked with on a set was that, you know, the reason why you're here today and the reason why you're great at what you do is because you're authentic to yourself. So, you know, like the reason why you're referred to other people is because you are open, want to make friends, and that you love learning, you know, and you don't have to put a front in order to qualify as someone that people enjoy being around.
Yeah. And it can be detrimental as well.
Yes.
So is photography, is it your profession? Or is it still like a hobby? Or
so whenever anyone asks you that question, I always say it's complicated.
Understandably.
Because I start to go into like a little bit of a spiel. But like, long story short, I basically do full-time freelancing. So I work for this woman, Collier Grimm, who runs Picture Kid, which, you know, she represents three photographers and a creative director. And so I do administrative work with her, and then I also do production assisting for all of the artists.
Oh, wow.
And then I also, on the weekends, I help him on his passion projects.
Oh, wow.
I work,
okay.
You know, last weekend I was on set with him both Saturday and Sunday. This weekend it's Saturday. And I work like a full day. It's paid. It's amazing. And then through different sets, I also work part-time or I freelance for a few different producers and do on-set producing and production assistant work for them. So again, when you know, it's spreading the word, where I was happened to be put on the shoot and I didn't know the photographer, and his agent, who's in New York, she called me later that night and was like, you know, the photographer loved you, like, can you help on this next project? And now, you know, he lives in Las Vegas, but whenever they're in LA, they call me. So I think I don't think freelance is – I mean, it's difficult to be able to do freelance. You have to really keep yourself busy and make sure that it's economically kind of – that's funny, economically affordable. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it also takes a certain amount of mental acceptance and knowing that you're not – there's a lot of uncertainty with it. But I think that that's kind of what I feed off of. Like, I – I love that every day of mine is so different. I love that I can't predict what's going to happen in this next week.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like, I didn't know I was going to be doing this until, like, noon today. You know, you guys, I got a text. It was like, hey, you want to do this? And I was like, sure.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, like, those are, like, the things where you wake up in the morning. I used, in the corporate world, I'd wake up and I'd be like, I know exactly what's happening, what projects I'm working on, and I dreaded it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I wake up in the morning, I'm like, what's happening today? I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So what would you say that, what role would you say photography like plays for you, like in life?
Yes.
Is it just like your career, or is it a passion? Is it therapy, expression, creative outlet, perception, storytelling, obviously?
Yep.
Yeah.
I would say photography serves as very therapeutic to me. You know, I think I always say that, like, I'm a person who can get the zoomies. Like, I can have a lot of energy sometimes where it's too much for myself. And so the way to kind of get rid of that energy, you know, it could be working out or going on a walk, or, like, you know, when you are kind of, like, whether it's energetic or anxious, like, if you – a lot of people say that if you have anxiety and it's snowing outside, put your hand in snow, because then instead of being in your head, you're focusing on something that's physical. Mm-hmm. So when you're holding a camera, you know, you're not in your head. You're focusing on what's happening around you. It's very grounding.
Yeah.
So that's a reason why I love photography. And then I also love it because I think that it's a means to connect with other people, kind of like a language.
Mm-hmm. Would you, like, when you're the people that you're connecting with, would you say that that's like with other photographers, or even just the people that you're meeting when you're taking pictures?
I think, of course, with other photographers, because there's a shared passion, you know, like that's how we all kind of became friends, or how we're all in the same room is because of photography. Even like, I forgot that I wanted to go into this, but the way that I started coming to the photo club.
Oh, yeah.
Is because I was on a date at El Prado, on the east side, and I had gone up to go to the bathroom, and there was a line, and I saw this girl who was beautiful, and she was talking to this guy that was like kind of bizarre.
Okay.
And I looked at her, and when he went into the bathroom, I looked at her, I go, are you with that guy? And she goes, no. And I go, thank God, you're so out of his league. She's like, you're funny. Do you want to come into the bathroom with me so you can skip the line? I was like, yeah. And so I go into the bathroom. I'm like, I'm on a second date. She's like, I'm with my boyfriend. We're like cracking each other up. This is like probably a 2-minute conversation. Like I pee, she pees. Mm-hmm. And then we leave the bathroom, and like she was like, what's your Instagram? Like, you're cool, whatever. We follow each other. And then that next day I was on Instagram and I saw that she was a photographer, because mm-hmm. she posted about being in a gallery hosted by the Venice Photo Club.
Oh, wow.
So I DM'd her and I said, oh my gosh, like, how did we not talk about, you know, our common interest for photography in the 2 minutes that we were in the bathroom, you know? And she was like, oh my God, you have to come, like, blah, blah. So that is how I got started in the photo club, was because, you know, similar to a common language, we mm-hmm. both bonded over photography, and that kind of opened up a sense of community and a sense of belonging. And I had been looking for something like this. Like, I told her I was really looking for a way to, like, continue learning about photography mm-hmm. and pushing myself and meeting like-minded people. And it was just crazy that, you know, again, people would make fun of me for being like, why did you talk to that random girl in the bathroom line?
Yeah.
But look where it's brought me.
Yeah, it does truly give you an avenue for or like that language that you can really bond over that, and you can mm-hmm. you can engage with that, and it creates a common ground so quickly.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that in like the short time that I've been coming to the photo club, is that it's so easy to build on top of that when you have such like a sturdy foundation in terms of like, we're all just trying to create, and we're all just trying to enjoy this dynamic that we have.
And it's so full circle, because I was actually on the phone with her this morning because she's having me assist with one of her shoots that's coming up. And so it's really cute that
that's so cute,
you know, that we met on a whim, and then now we actually do get to work together.
Now you get to create together. Now you get to engage in this creativity that you guys both share.
Yeah. So, you know, a year later,
yeah,
it's exciting.
That's phenomenal.
Thanks.
Yeah. We do have to wrap up.
Yeah.
But just before we go, do you have any personal projects that you're working on right now?
Personal projects. So I'm like, do I want to open this can of worms? You know what? I'm going to open it.
Go crazy.
I'm not going to go to the full depth or explain really how I got into it. But basically, I majored in both Spanish and psychology, minored in art in college. Mm-hmm. And in my capstone for my Spanish class, I learned about these three Hungarian Jewish photographers.
Okay.
Gerda Taro is the woman, and she is like, you know, she's the only woman out of like these three people. Like there's two males. She's the one woman. And this is like right, you know, it's like late 1930s, early 1940s. And this is like right during when the Holocaust happened. Mm-hmm. And these photographers, the three of them changed the art of war photography. So they went and captured the Spanish Civil War. So they fled Hungary. They changed their last name so they wouldn't be caught as being Jews. And they, instead of taking pictures before and after, like other photographers had, they mm-hmm. took pictures in the trenches during the war.
Oh, wow.
So they shot on film. And, you know, Gerda Taro, she actually passed away during the war because she was like on a car getting a shot mm-hmm. and there was a grenade that had blown up the car. And she, all of her work was published under one of the men's names. Mm-hmm. And the reason was because, you know, of course, during this time, gender roles, her work probably wouldn't have been taken as seriously yeah. or monumentally as a woman. Mm-hmm. There were 4,000 negatives of film that they wow. had captured, and they put it in a few different boxes. So this is actually, I forgot to say this, but this phenomenon is called the Mexican suitcase or La Maleta Mexicana.
Okay.
So there's a Netflix documentary that was made in 2008 about this. But they shipped all of these rolls of film to Mexico and they were lost. And then in 2000, I think 6 or 2008, all of these rolls were rediscovered because a Mexican general from the army was on his deathbed and he told his wife, who told her son, that they needed to look in the attic. And so all of these rolls of film were developed in 2008 at the International Center of Photography.
Whoa.
And so for multiple years, this was a traveling gallery or exhibition. And I like was in, I wrote a paper on this. Like I was infatuated being a woman, being Jewish, being interested in photography and also Spanish culture. This is like mm-hmm. the perfect intersection of my identity.
The
you know?
Perfect cross section. Yes. Yeah.
And so basically I did a lot of research and I saw that this exhibition is no longer traveling. And, you know, I Googled who is the curator of this exhibition at the ICP. Mm-hmm. I asked a lot of different publications if I could have her number because I wanted to be like, what's happening? Why mm-hmm. is this no longer gaining traction? And, you know, I like phoned the Abraham Lincoln Archival Center in New York. They wouldn't give it to me. Emailed the ICP, asked for her information. They wouldn't give it to me. I went on LinkedIn. I looked up her name. There was 30 women with her name. And the one that had like 24 connections mm-hmm. and a tie to the ICP, I LinkedIn messaged her. And I later got on a call with her and wow. and I talked to my Spanish teacher a good amount about this project, but that's kind of all I'll go into. But I mm-hmm. would love to remake both the documentary and also bring the exhibition back to life. And, you know, I asked her, why is this no longer being shown? And she told me a lot of Americans, they don't feel that they could resonate with Spanish culture. And I said, why don't you take this from, you know, a religion mm-hmm. perspective or from a Jewish perspective? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would love to remake the documentary and it's, you know, a lot of moving parts and I don't necessarily have all the time right now.
Mm-hmm.
But one day I would love to, you know, be in Spain interviewing the family members of the people who were in those photographs and, you know, spread their history and their ancestry to those who love them.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
That is.
It's a crazy project.
I was going to say,
right?
That is a large project. That yeah. is huge.
So that's like, you know.
Yeah.
That's end goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is 10 times the answer that I would have expected from you.
Cool.
Not from you personally, yeah, but just in general.
I'm glad that
no, absolutely.
You're impressed.
To say the least. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just to wrap up, just what we kind of mentioned them off the top, but what are your Instagram handles in case people want to see your stuff?
So for those that are worthy, my personal Instagram is Goofy Goobs. So it's _ Goofy Goobs _. And that is a SpongeBob reference as a Goofy Goober. And then my photography Instagram is ShutterGirl, ShutterGirl _.
Beautiful.
Yep. And you can follow along for the wild ride.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This was...
This whole time, I thought you were listening to music in one ear, and then I just realized that it was for the audio. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm just, that's amazing.
You're like jamming, it's like Bob Marley in one ear.
Yeah, I just need some sort of entertainment this entire time.
It's so boring.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. This was very insightful, and you were so articulate, and I learned so much in hearing about your creativity and
this is so enjoyable.
It
was only one-sided of you learning about me, so hopefully next time I can interview you so I could learn more about you and not just your interest in urinals.
Yeah, urinal guy. That's me. That's all you need to know. Yeah. But yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for telling us what's in your bag.
And thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much. And
that's a wrap.
That's it.
Woo! Thanks, guys.